Good morning and welcome to our service of public worship here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. You would see that we are experimenting having both a Zoom service and a physical service. So after the introductory part, Bill Imlay will continue with a Zoom service from home with those who are not able to join us physically here in church this morning. We want to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning, and especially those who are doing so for the first time or doing so after a long while. This is our spiritual home, and in this space, we find time to connect with one another. It's unfortunate that at this time, we can't do so really physically, but we continue to pray for one another as we build up ourselves in faith within the community of God's people. Our call to worship is Psalm 98, the verses 1 to 6. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done many marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. And our first hymn, O Worship the King. Thank you. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we focus our minds towards you, it is easy for those minds to shoot off in so many directions. We find it hard to slow down, to remove all the clutter and concentrate on you, Lord. In the stillness of this place, this time, take from us the strain and stress as we feel ourselves rest in your eternal love in the everlasting arms. Then quietly, the small beginnings of praise well up as we remember what we have in Jesus Christ, that we have one who is with us, who guides and strengthens us, who holds us through every storm of life, who leads us to everlasting life. We confess that sometimes the storms we endure are of our own making, a foolish word, a thoughtless comment, a misguided action, a quick judgment. Then we must live with the consequences and guilt. Take all that stress from us too and replace it with your forgiveness and peace. Heavenly Father, in your hands we are safe and secure. We rejoice in your eternal love and all-sufficient grace. Come to us now as we worship you, that we may do so in spirit and in truth. Accept our worship and listen to our cry for help. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Come Now, is the time to worship.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42, reading from verses 10 to 16. Isaiah 42. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Sela sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19, verses 37 to 40. When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Amen. And may God add his blessings on these readings from his holy word.
Unto God's name be glory and praise. An extreme blessing and honor and glory and power.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. One morning, Robert Chapman, the 18th century Baptist pastor and a devout Christian, was asked how he was feeling. "I am burdened this morning," was his reply. But his happy countenance contradicted his words. So the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with a smile, "I am referring to Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Or, "Praise the Lord, praise God, our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms." In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits. "Were there no God," said Christina Rossetti, "we would be in this glorious world with grateful hearts and no one to thank." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, many people feel overwhelmed with joy when they reflect on all the glorious deliverances and unmerited mercies they have received from the Lord. The mysterious string of events that have characterized our lives, for which we lack words to exclaim, except again in the words of King David, Psalm 36, verse 7, "How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." So we are not surprised that the multitude praised the Lord on the Mount of Olives for his many miracles. But there were at least two groups of people here: those who had these warm feelings of grateful love for the greater part before the week expired, and would join in the cry, "Crucify him, crucify him," and those who praised the Lord with their whole heart. Who do you think constituted the multitude that praised the Lord unreservedly? Maybe blind Bartimaeus, who had followed Jesus on the way because he had given him sight. He had been cast out of the synagogue for Christ's sake, and when he heard he was the Son of God, he replied, "Lord, I believe." Then there would have been Lazarus, whom Christ had raised from the dead, and maybe Mary, who the evening before had anointed her Lord with fragrant spikenard, and then Salome and Joanna and Mary Magdalene, and all the faithful little band who had followed Jesus out of Galilee. And of course, his blessed mother Mary too would have been there to praise his extraordinary son. She would have beheld him whom, when a baby, she had laid in a manger and acknowledged as the King of Israel. And we know for sure that the apostles were among that crowd praising the Lord. Yet, there were some who hated to hear the praise of the Son of God. This Pharisee said, "Master, rebuke your disciples. Stop them from doing what they are doing. Rebuke your followers for saying things like that." But Jesus Christ would not obstruct the overflowing feelings of the multitude. Instead, he replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Have you ever heard of stones praising God? It is very foolish to have experienced the love of God and then fail to give him praise and honor and adoration. The Pharisees seemed to be more senseless than stones, for they had seen the most glorious miracles and yet refused to honor Christ who had done them. And for that reason, they were unfit to enter heaven, where no tongue is mute in the Savior's praise. For all those who fail to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ are unfit for that blessed place called heaven. If you keep quiet, the stones along the road would praise the Lord. Are you so senseless that you have failed to recognize God and to praise him for the many wonderful things that he has done for you? Think of those days when you were in deep trouble and even pain. Maybe you survived a terrible accident, or the doctor had declared that you were not going to survive an illness, but you did. And today you are alive and can even boast of good health. Maybe your children at one point seemed to be wayward and you asked God for a new direction, and he answered, and now you have a better home or a better family. But you have forgotten to say, "Thank you, Jesus." There are many people who have experienced the goodness of God from their earliest infancy and who refuse to praise him and to thank him. There are many who have heard of his dying love but who hold their peace on this glorious subject and neither thank God in public nor in private. There are lips that have never, with warmth and sincerity, blessed the holy name of Christ the Savior. And while angels praise God day and night, shall sinners like you and I, for whom Christ died, refuse to utter one note of heartfelt praise? When we fail to worship God, we make less his glory and splendor. For as C.S. Lewis puts it, a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. It is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to people. To love you as I should, I must worship God as Creator. And so let me suggest a few reasons or areas in which we might worship God, apart from the personal experiences and miracles that God has done in our lives. We can thank God for love. When we read that love is patient and kind, not jealous or boastful, not seeking its own, keeping no record of wrongs, we feel so inadequate. But when we remember that Christ is love and that he will love through us, we have hope. So we can thank God for wanting to shine through ordinary people like you and myself. And then we can thank God for daily problems, James 1:2-4. If we did not have problems, our focus would grow inward. We can thank God by faith for the trials of this life because they draw us to Christ and remind us that this earth is not our home. And then we can thank God for our inadequacies. There is much about life that we don't understand. But God did not ask us to understand, or did he? He asked us to trust him. And we know and believe that he is trustworthy. But dear friends, our praise and thanks should not be only to God. Let us learn to appreciate people too for the things they do to make our lives better and brighter. Praise can indeed transform the lives of people by giving them courage even to do more. So when we come to God with our thanks, we show him that he is the author and finisher of our life and that he holds the keys to our lives. And then he will be more willing to bless us. And when we appreciate people for what they do and achieve, it can lead them to greater things that would benefit the world. When the great painter Benjamin West was a young boy, he decided to draw a picture of his sister. He got out bottles of ink and succeeded in making a mess. When his mother got home, she said, "What a beautiful picture," and kissed him. Later in life, he said, "That kiss made me a painter." Fellow brothers and sisters, I don't know what more God would do to you and to your life if you just come to him in praise and worship for all that he has already done. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5:20, "Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we praise God, we are letting go of the need to see first and then to submit. We don't wait until we feel like it to give thanks. We do it out of obedience. We stop fighting the circumstances of our lives and acknowledge God's participating presence. Praise may seem passive to us. We stop and worship and rest in God's sovereignty. But it is also active, because when we give thanks, we are involving God, inviting him into the circumstances of our lives and getting out of the way so that God may do for us what he has promised that he will do. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. And we thank you for reminding us again that we need to come to you in worship, in praise, and in thanksgiving, acknowledging the many miracles that you do for us. We confess for times when we have failed to do so, and ask, O God, that you will continue to bless us as we draw near to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme is King of Kings, Majesty. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. We bring to you, O Father, our gifts of money, and we also bring ourselves, that you may use them and use us for your work. Jesus Christ, the true vine, in our need we come to you, in weakness needing your strength. For we too easily become dry and lifeless without your life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ, the true vine, teach us to remain in you, and so to find your life flowing in us, giving strength and vigor to our discipleship. And as we come closer to you, our lives are drawn closer to others. Our minds turn to images of violence we have seen on the news in places of fear and terror, to where people are at loggerheads over race, religion, land, and power. Our thoughts turn to Christians living with persecution who face danger simply for being linked to you. Father, prune back all that stands in the way of peace. Our thoughts turn to people in leadership and power who have decisions to make over the economy and people whose jobs and livelihood will be affected. We pray for our nation and its leaders. May changes and choices be shaped by the values of the kingdom. We thank you, O merciful Father, that the lockdown restrictions are easing and that people are beginning to get back into normal life or even a new normal. We pray, O God, that we will be careful with our freedom. And we pray, O merciful Father, that by your own special grace and miracle powers, you will completely take away this pandemic from the world and grant us our full lives and healthy lives again. We thank you so much for the work of the scientists, for the vaccines, and for all that they continue to do to seek lasting solutions to this problem. We thank you too because we know that if you do not build a house, those who do so labor in vain, and therefore by your inspiration, success will be achieved in all that science is trying to do. God, our Heavenly Father, on our hearts are people in need, in our church and in our community. Wherever hearts are breaking, bodies are failing, minds are confused, families are ruptured, Lord, come with your help and healing. Here too, as your church gathered today, we give thanks for the sins of the past and the fruit they have borne in our community and beyond. Like them, help us to remain in you, that we may be fruitful and bring glory to your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please, if you are able to stand, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. If you want to remain standing, we will listen to our last hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.